It's Classical Spotlight, and looking forward to performances of The Messiah with Patrick Quigley and the San Antonio Symphony. This is your third time back, right?
I had my first rehearsal with the choir this week, and I said it's like being with my choir away from choir with them. This is my third Messiah and my fourth time with the symphony.
So. I think I saw a Facebook post saying, "Oh gosh, it's so neat to see the orchestra adopt Baroque bows, which we don't always see with working modern symphonies,
right.
You know, that aren't specialists. How does that sort of thing affect it? Because you are a wonderful specialist for Baroque music. How does that affect the sound that we'll hear?
And I think every one of the players in the symphony would say the same thing, which is that you can accomplish the same thing that you accomplish with Baroque bows as you do with a modern bow. It's just so much easier with a Baroque bow. In a lot of ways, I think, you know, seeing a modern symphony orchestra all playing with Baroque bows shows a commitment to playing in a style. For a long time, particularly during the late 80s and early 90s, there was actually sort of a fight between modern orchestras and period orchestras to claim how this music was supposed to be played. And now we don't really have that sort of, you know, let's play it the way that we play Brahms anymore. I think that as, you know, training in Baroque music has become more and more popular in the United States, even modern orchestras now sort of recognize that there's a way that we play this just in the same way there's a way that we play Beethoven or we play Mozart. And so coming to a modern orchestra and seeing, you know, Baroque bows, for me, not only signifies, you know, just this is going to be a great performance even before we begin rehearsals, because there's a commitment from everyone involved that we're going to hear real Baroque music, but also that things in the United States are changing, and San Antonio is certainly on the forefront of that. I mean, I think that San Antonio Symphony had Baroque playing with Baroque bows probably before the New York Philharmonic was. And so, you know, it shows how cutting edge this symphony orchestra really is.
Well, we're looking forward to it. There are three performances this weekend. And I was going to ask, how does one, because we won't hear the complete Messiah, will we? There'll be a couple of cuts. And obviously, this time of year, the first part is sort of the big Christmas portion.
Yes, indeed. We'll be hearing a little bit of everything. You know, there are parts of Messiah that I personally feel that you cannot do without. These are the immovable parts of Messiah, which are, you know, comfort ye every valley and the glory of the Lord, for unto us a child is born, rejoice greatly, the hallelujah chorus, worthy is the Lamb, the trumpet shall sound. I know that my Redeemer liveth. You know, the big hits, as one might think, of not only of Messiah, but of all of classical vocal orchestral music. But in between that, you know, I sort of modify it year by year, just to so that if someone came 2 years in a row, they wouldn't hear the same piece. So this year, focusing on some of the second and third part pieces that are not as often performed, but which are truly gems of the repertoire. Lift Up Your Heads, which is an incredible piece of music. The Lord Gave the Word and Great Were the Company of the Preachers, which is often cut from modern performances, but which I think is sort of this rollicking, very quick romp through text painting that Handel puts together. You know, there will always be the He Shall Feed His Flock aria and O Thou That Tellest Good Tidings to Zion, sort of solo by the mezzo-soprano and then followed by a chorus, which, you know, are always a part of the piece. But, you know, different things year by year, and I think that they all come together to form a whole which, in a lot of ways, encompasses what Handel was feeling at the many different times he wrote this piece. Because, you know, we always talk about he wrote it in 2 or 3 weeks before the first performance, but he conducted it so many times during his lifetime, and each time he modified it for the people who were performing it. And so there are so many different versions of Messiah that it is impossible to say that there is a definitive one. And so instead of saying that we're going to do the definitive Messiah, we say we're going to do one really great part of what the history of this compendium that we call Messiah is.
There's going to be some lovely soloists along with the orchestra. And I'm always amazed there's these great continuo parts, the wonderful tradition that we often will hear with these soloists as well.
Indeed, indeed. You know, when people think of the word continuo, they try to think of what does that even mean? And even when we explain it, which is that this concept of two instruments playing together as one, usually a bowed instrument, the cello, and a keyboard instrument, a harmony instrument, the harpsichord, is what you'll hear here. But this tradition actually follows all the way through music, even into modern times. If people can think about in sort of a more sort of pop folk reference, the idea of having a guitar and bass play together in a bluegrass band or in a jazz band, sort of playing as a unit, it's sort of a modern equivalent of what the continuo group is. And that was started at the time of Monteverdi and Handel and Bach, and continues both in contemporary art music and in popular music today. But it has its roots in the late Renaissance, early Baroque.
Well, there are going to be a lot of chances here, three chances you'll have this weekend to sort of hear this weekend's performance. I won't say definitive, but a great performance
exactly.
of Messiah. And I'd be remiss while I have you here talking to ask about your new Christmas album.
Yes, we have our previous Christmas album, A Seraphic Fire Christmas, was released about 2 years ago. Last year, it was nominated a year from, I think, Friday. It was nominated for a Grammy Award, which was really exciting. I was actually here in San Antonio when I got my first Grammy nomination, which was incredible. But we're releasing a second one this year called Silent Night, and that will be released in the next 2 weeks. And we are very excited. Our Christmas albums have been very important to us because we like to mix the traditional carols and Gregorian chant with contemporary music. In our first Christmas album, it was the music of Morten Lordson. In this next album, we have a number of world premiere recordings, including a new piece by Stephen Sommets that was written originally for Chanticleer, but he gave us the honor of being able to record it. Niño de Rosas, which is a Spanish Christmas carol about a little gypsy girl who shows up at the manger and reads the baby Jesus' palm and finds out that he will be her savior. And so a number of incredible pieces like that that appear on this new Christmas album. So we're very psyched about it.
Well, it's wonderful. And again, we're happy to share that with our audience. And who knows, maybe yet another Grammy nomination.
Well, we would hope. We would hope. So.
Well, Patrick, it's great to talk to you. And toy toy on the Messiah.
Thank you so very much.